for Ajmer about the night of the 23rd. "But I'm going into the Indian desert," I explained. "Well and good," said he. "You'll be changing at Marwar Junction to get into the Jodhpur territory. You must do that. And he'll be coming through Marwar Junction in the early morning of the 24th by the Bombay Mail. Can you be at Marwar Junction on that time? 'Twon't be inconveniencing you, because I know that there's precious few pickings to be got out of these central India states, even though you pretend to be correspondent of the backwoodsman." "Have you ever tried that trick?" I asked. "Again and again. But the residents find you out, and then you get escorted to the border before you've time to get your knife into them. But about my friend here, I must give him word of mouth to tell him what's come to me, or else he won't know where to go. I would take it more than kind of you if you was to come out of central India in time to catch him at Marwar Junction and say to him, 'He has gone south for the week.' He'll know what that means. He's a big man with a red beard, and a great swell he is. You'll find him sleeping like a gentleman with all his luggage round him in a second-class compartment. But don't you be afraid. Slip down the window and say, 'He has gone south for the week,' and he'll tumble. It's only cutting your time of stay in those parts by 2 days. I ask you as a stranger going to the west," he said with emphasis. "Where have you come from?" said I. "From the east," said he, "and I'm hoping that you'll give him the message on the square, for the sake of my mother, as well as your own." Englishmen are not usually softened by appeals to the memory of their mothers, but for certain reasons which will be fully apparent, I saw fit to agree. "It's more than a little matter," said he, "and that's why I ask you to do it. And now I know that I can depend on you doing it. A second-class carriage at Marwar Junction and a red-haired man asleep in it. You'll be sure to remember. I get out at the next station. I must hold on there until he comes or sends me what I want." "I'll give him your message if I catch him," said I. "And for the sake of your mother as well as mine, I'll give you a word of advice. Don't try to run the central India states just now as the correspondent of the backwoodsman. There's a real one knocking about here, and it might lead to trouble." "Thank you," said he simply. "And when will the swine be gone? I can't starve because he's ruining my work. I wanted to get hold of the Demagar Raja down here about his father's widow and give him a jump." "What did he do to his father's widow then?" "Filled her up with red pepper and slippered her to death as she hung from a beam. I found out that myself, and I'm the only man that would dare going into the state to get hush money for it. They'll try to poison me, same as they did in Kortama when I was there on the loot. But you'll give the man at Marwar Junction my message?" He got out at a little roadside station, and I reflected. I had heard more than once of men personating correspondents of newspapers and bleeding small native states with threats of exposure, but I'd never met any of the caste before. They lead a hard life, and generally die with great suddenness. The native states have a wholesome horror of English newspapers, which may throw light on their peculiar methods of government, and do their best to choke correspondents with champagne, or drive them out of their mind with four-in-hand barouches. They do not understand that nobody cares a straw for the internal administration of native states, so long as oppression and crime are kept within decent limits, and the ruler is not drunk or diseased from one end of the year to the other. Native states were created by Providence in order to supply the picturesque scenery, tigers and tall writing. They are the dark places of the earth, full of unimaginable cruelty, touching the railway and the telegraph on one side and on the other, the days of Harun al-Rashid. When I left the train, I did business with diverse kings, and in 8 days passed through many changes of life. Sometimes I wore dress clothes and consorted with princes or politicals, drinking from crystal and eating from silver. Sometimes I lay out upon the ground and devoured what I could get from a plate made of a flapjack and drank the running water and slept under the same rug as my servant. It was all in a day's work. Then I headed for the great Indian desert upon the proper date, as I had promised, and the night mail sent me down to Marwar Junction, where a funny little happy-go-lucky native managed railway runs to Jodhpur. The Bombay Mail, from Delhi, makes a short halt at Marwar. She arrived as I got in, and I had just time to hurry to her platform and go down the carriages. There was only one second class on the train. I slipped the window